Today on Real Radio.
Because of doubt, some Christians struggle in their Christian experience. And because of doubt, great men and women of God have fallen into great, great depression or great darkness because they lose their focus on what God is calling them to do or what God has said to them. And so listen tonight, keep this in mind. And I'm going to be very, very direct with you tonight, if you don't mind. We need to encourage and exhort and stir one another up in this area of faith, because faith is the only thing that will combat doubt.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series called The Disciplines of Life, a collection of studies that examines and applies scriptural principles to our lives as true disciples of Jesus. Any actual believer who takes his faith seriously will most inevitably have certain doubts about its many truths. Sometimes struggling with an issue will drive us back to the scriptures. That's good. But if doubt occupies too much of our Christian experience, that isn't so good, as pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs demonstrates in this presentation called The Discipline of Doubt.
The discipline of doubt, and there is not a person in the hearing of my voice who has not had to contend with the issue of doubt and what it means and how it affects your life. Matthew chapter 28, hold your finger there and go a little bit to the right to John chapter 20. Matthew chapter 28 and John chapter 20, the discipline of doubt, the topic in this now series of ours in the disciplines of life. Matthew 28, and Jesus said to them, Jesus spoke unto his disciples, and he said, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And then a little bit over to John chapter 20, a beautiful portion of scripture because it applies to our lives in such a profound way, and for that, from time to time. John chapter 20, verse 25. The other disciples therefore said to him, that is to Thomas, we have seen the Lord. And so he, Thomas, said to them, unless I see his hands and the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, what does it say? I will not believe. That's Thomas. That's his great contribution to Christianity, and I mean it is great. Thomas makes a declaration that all of us around the world tonight can be grateful for. Thomas asked the question, or maybe was feeling the feeling that many of us from time to time have felt. And we would want to be the last ones to admit it, but there's times, maybe before we were a Christian or while we or after we had become a Christian even, we've asked that question, I won't believe unless. We've said those things like, if I were God, I would have. Well, I don't know why the Lord is doing this. All of those statements that you and I make are statements surrounded and rooted in doubt. And we're going to see tonight and we're going to hear tonight how doubt is a killer. There is no doubt that doubt causes more pain and suffering in the lives of people than we can ever imagine. Doubt causes great grief to affect you and I. Have you ever wrestled with doubt? And I mean wrestle with it. I accepted Jesus Christ on June 20th, 1977. And I was so excited that night, and it had nothing to do with the music blessing me. By the way, Keith Green was at the piano the night I accepted Christ. For those of you who are 150 years old, you remember him. But Keith Green was doing the worship. Greg Laurie gave the message, and I responded to the gospel, not because it felt good. It wasn't because it was a wonderful night and everything seemed right. It was the exact opposite. It was a horrible night. I was so convicted. Greg Laurie was teaching in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I was convicted because I knew that I was one of those people that would inherit hell. I was living a fast track straight to hell. And I was convicted and I was sweating and I was scared. But I knew I had to go forward. And I accepted Christ. I had no doubt about that. I accepted Jesus. And then from that moment on, you would have thought, like most people, they have this wonderful honeymoon with God. Everything's right. It seems like there's a rose-strewn path along their way. Everything's great. They just seem to skip through life after becoming a Christian. I lost my job. Everything went down the hill after I accepted Christ. The world was shaken underneath my feet. I lost all my friends. I thought they'd be happy for me. I found Christ. They said, get out of our lives. What are you, a lunatic? And I had nobody. And I read the Bible every day, and I got into the Bible, and I was studying the Bible. I was buying commentaries and reading all about great things that God has done. And for 3 years' time, instead of my faith increasing, what happened was I went through a great, great, dark time of wondering, oh God, after learning and studying about you, how could you love me? How could you ever forgive me? Though I knew he had. I had this great struggle of doubt about, is God every day wanting me with him anymore? You say, well, what kind of sins were you doing after you? You guys, I accepted Christ, man, and I walked with Jesus. In fact, I was praying all the time and I was just studying all the time. I wasn't doing anything wrong. What I'm telling you is this, doubt began to creep in ever so gently, if I can even say that, ever so calmly. A friend of mine, a pastor in Seattle, says Satan is a gradualist. And I have known that to be true in my life. And you know it as well. And when we come to the discipline of doubt, tonight we're going to be studying about a topic that is key to every one of our lives. Because listen, because of doubt, some people don't believe in God. Because of doubt, some Christians struggle in their Christian experience. And because of doubt, great men and women of God have fallen into great, great depression or great darkness because they lose their focus on what God is calling them to do or what God has said to them. And so listen, tonight, keep this in mind. And I'm going to be very, very direct with you tonight, if you don't mind. We need to encourage and exhort and stir one another up in this area of faith, because faith is the only thing that will combat doubt. And the function of the physical body, if you think about it, it's a miracle. It's beyond our ability to map in totality, but your physical body is working in great unity just for you to sit here and pay attention. Your body, your muscles, your brain, your chemistry, it is miraculous how your human body comes together to cause you to live a normal day. Do you realize how much grace it takes for you and I to get through one day? Just for your stomach to be working right now. Your mind, your ears to be working. Your body's working together. And we know that when one part of our body hurts, our whole other part of our body's affected. You can break your baby toe. Your elbow doesn't hurt, but your whole body limps because your baby toe got broke. What is that all about? And in the body of Christ, listen, for all of us, we have got to break this Western mindset of thinking that we live and exist and die unto ourselves. You guys, I tell you, I think you're starting to catch on, well, the way the world is going, that you and I in the household of faith need one another like never before, and that's going to increase. The days are coming when it's no more pretend Christianity. It's the real deal that will survive. And those are great days. We're not afraid of those days. But we need to strengthen each other in faith, like the body comes together so that we might move forward. So this body needs to come together that we might move forward. And when somebody's hurting, we pick them up. We limp with them. Listen, I mean this compassionately. We need to limp with them for as long as it takes to get them to run with us. You don't limp the rest of your Christian life because of doubt. We're going to talk about this tonight. Number one, jot it down if you would. The discipline of doubt. Doubt must be confronted head on. Doubt is a great danger. It must be confronted. First of all, mark it down that doubt must be confronted head on, because listen to this. Doubt, and if you're an atheist tonight, or if you're an atheist watching tonight, or you're listening right now, you need to understand something. Doubt is an amazing testimony to the fact that you should have faith in God. Does that make sense? If you doubt, you cannot actually doubt properly unless there's the opposite of doubt. That's like people who say, well, how can there be a God when there's so much evil in the world? Well, that's right. You say, what? How can there be a God or a good God if there's so much evil in the world? My friend, you cannot have evil in the world without good. In fact, if you think about it, evil is good gone bad. You say, what? If a man kidnaps somebody and holds them against their own will and tries to pursue some sort of control or power over that person, do you understand that what that person, that evil madman, is thinking is good gone bad? He wants somebody with him. That's not a bad thing. He wants somebody to spend time with him. That's not a bad thing. But because good has gone evil, that's bad. You cannot have bad, you cannot have doubt unless there's good and unless there's faith. And the discipline of doubt is to understand that and to confront it head on. Doubt, I hope you'll see tonight, is a very, very dangerous thing. Number one, because mankind is a spiritually designed creation. Inside of you is a spirit that will live forever. Daniel chapter 12 says so. John chapter 5 says so. Can you imagine for a moment, think about it. Every human being that has ever been born will exist eventually in eternity in an eternal heaven or an eternal hell. And by the way, let me tell you, I don't care what you hear on Good Morning America, Jesus says there's an eternal hell, no matter what crazy people are talking about. And by the way, isn't it very smart of Satan to get people to believe that there is no hell when he wants people to go there and God doesn't want you to go there? So what a great, great PR tactic for Satan to whisper in the minds of false prophets, oh, by the way, there's no hell. It's all good. Well, what a schnookery that is. And you might think, well, I can't believe in God. I've got too many doubts in my mind. Well, I highly recommend you get those doubts confronted. Because just because you don't believe in the existence of God doesn't make him go away. The second thing is, because mankind has been created for faith. Man, created in the image of God, has been created for faith. Church, listen, tonight, you and I were designed to exercise faith. Jesus came and taught us, didn't he, in the Gospels, faith. Didn't he tell the disciples, why don't you guys make the people sit down in groups and you feed them? I love that. I mean, think about it. I mean, I love that because I'm 2,000 years removed from it and I get to poke fun at the guys for coughing and choking and saying, what are we going to do? But doesn't God work in your life now? Doesn't he work in your life often or daily about faith? The issues of life requires faith. Pressures, dangers, issues, relationships, challenges, just your own heart. Those of you who are Christians tonight, one of the greatest, if not the greatest drive of your soul, of your spirit, of your body even, is to present yourself, as Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, to present yourselves a living sacrifice to God. And you take that seriously. Mankind, human beings, have been created to exercise faith. Why do you think there's so many cults in the world? Why do you think there's so many religious systems in the world? You cannot go anywhere in the world without finding a temple, a totem pole, an altar. You can't. inside of every human being is a passion, a desire to worship God or gods or trees or things ignorantly, because there's a pursuit inside. And look at us tonight. How is it that God would save you and I tonight? Isn't it amazing? Think about it. Tonight we were singing and worshiping and praising the Lord. That's by the mercy of God. Don't think for a moment that if God had not touched your life, that you would just be pursuing him on your own because you're so doggone good. We would be bowing to the totem poles. We would be bowing down to the altars or the stone images of this world. Our temples made with human hands. Turn to Mark chapter 9. And right around verse 16, Mark 9, 16. I got a brand new Bible and the pages don't work. Got to break it in. Mark 9, 16. And he, Jesus, asked the scribes, "What are you discussing?" He says with them. Then one from the multitude, verse 17, answers, says, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever he seizes him," this demonic attack comes upon him, "he throws him down, he foams at the mouth, he gnashes his teeth, he becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast him out, but they could not." And Jesus answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." And then they brought him to Jesus, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood, and often he has thrown him both into the fire, into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything," listen to this man, "but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." You think God's going to walk away from that cry? And Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." And immediately, verse 24 says, the father of the child cried out, circle this verse 24, and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Can you not relate to that? Oh God, I believe in you, but help my unbelief. Listen, you cannot deny God. You know he exists. But the situation in your life is seemingly out of your control. And yes, it is out of your control. And what does God require of you and I to do? Oh God, oh Lord, if you'll do anything, help me. And tonight, doubt answers back to me and says, "Oh Jack, I've already asked God 2 times, 3 times, 1,000 times. Keep asking.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called The Discipline of Doubt, a hard look at the dangers of allowing doubt to occupy too much of our Christian experience. The Discipline of Doubt, part of Pastor Jack's series called The Disciplines of Life, of which we'll hear more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Remember, this Disciplines of Life series was delivered by Pastor Jack on Wednesday nights and concluded earlier this year. And in light of that, we bring to you this invitation.
This is David Jay with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel of Chino Hills. And there's something real exciting going on Wednesday nights around here. Pastor Jack, I was just pulling into the parking lot here at the church to get together with you, and I noticed a big vinyl sign on the side of the building. It said, well, it had a hot button word on the sign. It said worldview. Tell me what's going on around here.
It's the worldview series. That's what's out there, and that's what's happening here at Calvary right now on Wednesday nights. And we've had our first gathering together on the topic, introduction to the worldview series, and frankly, it went extremely well. We saw people, in fact, first-time visitors from the local university, and they couldn't believe what they were hearing. And that's exactly what we want to achieve.
Well, worldview is kind of a buzzword, isn't it? It's a popular word that carries a whole lot of meaning, especially for Christians. Tell me about the Wednesday night series here at Calvary Chino Hills.
Worldview series, the term worldview has gotten very popular in the church in the last 5 to 7 years
Because what it means is the word is rooted actually in the Germanic language. It means to look at your world around you, to observe and to conclude or to establish a life or a decision based upon the world you live in. Worldview means that you conduct yourself, you think in such a way, and you act out your life based upon what and how you view the world around you.
All right, I'm going to cheat a little bit because as you and I were chatting before we fired up the microphones, you were saying that we as Christians need to understand that we need to make our decisions using the Bible as our filter, if you will.
Yeah, there's a temptation, and I think it has reached, in my opinion, epidemic proportions in the church today where people will bifurcate their lives. What I mean by that is they'll go to church on Sunday, right. It's all Jesus, yeah. It's all God, it's wonderful for an hour and a half. Right. But come Sunday afternoon or Monday morning or Thursday night, there is this division. Far too many people today think that they can be following Jesus for an hour and a half a week, right, and leave him out the rest of their days and the rest of their life. And that's not the case. To have a biblical worldview is to include the doctrines of the Bible, the teachings of the Bible, the Holy Spirit who's at work in your life in every moment of your life, that he wants to be the Lord of all.
Okay, so for example, with our presidential election going on right now, the first thought in my mind is, what do I think? But what you're saying as a Christian that I should be thinking, what does the Bible say about my thinking or the way I should be thinking?
Exactly. There is no such division in the Christian's life that there's some area that is sacred or secular, not for the Christian.
I see.
The Christian is to be engaged in all aspects of life because, for example, a politician might declare that abortion is a political issue. Right. Well, my Bible teaches me it's a spiritual issue.
I get it.
A politician might declare that marriage now is a political issue. No, no, no. My Bible says that that is a spiritual issue. All of these things affect three things. Number one, it affects the political, it affects the moral, right, and it affects the religious aspects of our lives. The Christian is to live his Christianity out in all areas. You know, Paul made that very clear in Acts chapter 17 when he came to Athens, Greece,
right, uh-huh,
recognized that the Greeks were worshiping all these gods that they knew of, but they had a pedestal set up to the unknown God. And Paul used that opportunity to insert there to the way that the Athenians thought that this God that you've missed is the God who is inserting his life. In fact, in verse 28, he says that it is this God in whom we live, we move, and have our being. This is the total encasement of the Christian life by the Word of God, the Bible, the activity and works of the Holy Spirit, engaging the culture through the believer. That's the moment that you and I are alive, David. That's what God would have us to do.
Look, I raise my hand to plead guilty, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners do too. I don't necessarily default to a Christian worldview consciously or subconsciously for that matter. And in this series, what you're saying is, let's get to that point where we govern our lives with the biblical worldview.
You got it. There should be no area in which the Christian, frankly, would be ignorant about.
Pastor Jack, I've seen you excited in the past. You're excited about this, aren't you?
I'm excited about this because I love practical Christianity.
Right, right.
And so because of that, this series, you know, Davey, I tell you, four young men came up to me in the courtyard just the other night. After the teaching, they're on a class project. They came to interview the pastor of some church, whatever church they could find that's close to the house, they would go. Well, lo and behold, the topic in the event, the evening, so challenged their way of thinking that, frankly, we stood out in the courtyard and talked for a good period of time. They were dumbfounded that Christianity could be this practical. And I love that.
I love that too, Pastor Jack. And you and our listening audience, you're going to love it too. So here's the deal. Here's the invitation for you. We would love to have you join us for this life-changing worldview series, Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock Pacific. Join us on the web for the live broadcast on hischannel.com. That's 7 o'clock Pacific, Wednesday nights on hischannel.com. You can also watch the series at your own pace at our website, calvaryCCH.org. Click on Media and then on the Media Center. So there you have it. We'd be honored if you'd join us on the web for the live teaching at hischannel.com, Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock Pacific. Or catch the Worldview series when you can at calvaryCCH.org. Don't miss it. That's calvaryCCH.org.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.